Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters. Brought to you by Fresno Pacific University on 790 ESPN.
Hi, welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show. This is 790 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Across from Bullard High School here at the ESPN studios, also home to 1430 ESPN. Normally, we do the show every Wednesday from 6 to 7. And obviously, if you're listening right now live on 790, we are going from 5 to 6. A little bit early this week because we have some baseball to broadcast, some high school baseball that I'm going to be sharing with my buddy Phil Bonatti. So thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate it for this early hour. Of course, you can listen back on Spotify or Apple or YouTube as well. We're being broadcast live on YouTube right now as we speak. And what we do every Wednesday is we shine a spotlight on all the great stuff that's happening over at Fresno Pacific University on Chestnut and Butler Avenue. I am a proud grad of the school, 1994, back when it was Fresno Pacific College, but love talking to the student athletes at Fresno Pacific University, the coaching staff, and tonight we have a special guest right now. We love talking to our alum of the school, those that attended Fresno Pacific or Fresno Pacific College. Today we're going to be joined by Erin Obwald. She's going to be on the show for the entire hour, talk about her time at FPU, her time starting the soccer program on the women's side. That's a great story. I heard a little bit off air. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. Now she's back at the college, at the university, I should say, in an administrative role. She has a wonderful story that I can't wait for you guys to hear. She's a Fresno native, graduated from Hoover High School. She transferred as a junior. So got to say this, she's the founding president of the Sunbird Soccer Club and worked alongside Jaime Ramirez, transitioning the club into an intercollegiate NAIA program. That's a great story. Excited again for you guys to hear the entire thing. Currently runs a local nonprofit in Fresno. We're going to be talking about that in segment number two with her husband, David. He's also a Fresno Pacific alum. They have five children, two adopted from China and residing in the Fresno area. And as is the case with a lot of Fresno Pacific University or college connections, I do have a connection with Erin that we found out earlier. We have some mutual friends, and that's definitely a theme with a lot of people associated with Fresno Pacific University. So excited to talk about that a little bit as well. If you're familiar with the show, we do a recap from sporting events in the past couple weeks. And I say a couple weeks because we did not have a show last week. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. Then I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to hear from Erin. All right, let's start with men's and women's tennis, the latter of whom you heard from last episode. They defeated Westmont as we aired two Wednesdays ago. Both squads won 5-2 over Menlo the next day. Freshman Jordy Gonzalez won both his doubles matches with teammate Emilio Seelbach as well as his singles match, 6-1, 6-2, earning him the title of Raising Cane's Sunbird of the Week. The following Saturday, the women swept Cal State LA 7-0. Then on Thursday, Interlock defeated Stanislaus State 5-2, while the men defeated Westmont the day prior 4-3. Saturday, both squads defeated Jessup at home with the women sweeping and the men winning 6-1. Women's water polo headed south for a road stand, falling to Biola and Concordia Irvine. But last Wednesday at home, the Ladybirds came out on top over UC Merced 10-9 in overtime. Clovis High local Evelina Philippi tallied an incredible 19 saves, earning her WWPA Defensive Player of the Week. And of course, Raising Cane's Sunbird of the Week honors. Also, the Buchanan sisters, Cook, earned all WWPA honors, Emma on the first team, and Maggie all defensive team, while Clovis local Dakota Lambert notched an honorable mention. Baseball finished up a home stretch of games in Honolulu, sweeping Chaminade 4-0 with an 11-0 final victory and a 15-8 win over Hawaii Pacific. Put the Birds over 500 on the trip. How about this? Gabe Henderson having an incredible year for the baseball team, reached a milestone, 200 career hits. Track and field competed at the West Coast Relays before last weekend, which saw Sunbirds compete at a whopping four different track meets. Highlights from all those meets included a blazing 11.6 900-meter dash from sophomore Cyan Super Haslip, earning her Raising Cane's Sunbird of the Week from the week previous. A 70-meter-plus winning throw from freshman Teos Popliknik at the Texas Relays, among many other marks, two school records. We normally give sophomore Clara Wagner an award for a school record of 4,729 points in the heptathlon over at Cal Berkeley, but she already got one, so leave it to the local Lemoore grad Shane Bagley, who set a new school record of 5.60 meters in the pole vault at the Stanford Invitational to earn not just Raising Cane's Sunbird of the Week, and how about this acronym? You guys ready for this? The USTFCCCA National Division II Athlete of the Week as well. The mark is tied for fifth all-time outdoors for Division II. Now, Stunt was down in Costa Mesa for the final regular season matches, securing a solid 22-17 win over the Division I UC Davis, but narrowly following 25-23 to West Conference foe Vanguard. However, the Ladybirds would soon avenge this defeat in the West Coast. The Western Conference Championships was also the lone home event of the season. Friday, after an initial loss to Concordia Irvine, the Ladybirds swept Hawaii Pacific. Saturday, the Ladybirds lost to eventual champions Jessup, but their final match of the day took down the Lions of Vanguard 31-20, placing them third in the West Conference. All right, time for a break, and we're going to hear from Erin and her time at Fresno Pacific, starting the women's soccer program as well, and much, much more. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to this special edition of the Sunbird Sports Show. An hour early tonight. We have some high school baseball to broadcast later tonight. And I mentioned in my opener, we love to talk with alumni of Fresno Pacific University, and we have one tonight. Erin Obwald is with us, and like I mentioned too, there's a lot of connections, right? With Fresno Pacific University people, there's connections everywhere, but you have a great story to tell. We're going to get into a lot of stuff currently, what you're doing as well, but you helped start the women's soccer program at Fresno Pacific. Now, really quick, before we get into some fun stuff, was it a college back then, or is it?
No, it was a university.
It was a university. When did, what's the year that it transferred?
Well, I was already a university, so I didn't pay attention.
Okay, so I was class of 94, and it was college then, so
in between.
Maybe like,
yeah, and I started there in 98,
so. All right, so I got some research ahead of me. Before next show, I promise, I'll figure out the exact date when they went to university status. All right, so Easter was this last Sunday, spring break for us people in education, right? Yeah. Last week and on Monday as well. You have a big family of five.
We do.
Easter traditions.
Five children, so family of seven.
Family of seven. No pets?
We have two pets. Well, have four pets, actually.
Well, there we go. All right. So a big family. Easter traditions? Like, are the Easter eggs still a thing?
So we actually have. So my kids now range from 12 to 22. And we had our 12-year-old, 14-year-old, and 22-year-old with us. Our oldest is a son with his girlfriend. And then we have two little baby, a niece and nephew. So they're 2 and like 5 months. So actually we, you know, circle back to the Easter egg hunting, which was really fun. So my older kids actually, we, you know, hid the giant golden eggs with a little bit of money. So that was fun.
How much is a little bit of money? Because in my day, $1. Okay,
$1,
good.
$5 was max.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember in my day, the big deal was the 50-cent piece.
Oh,
right?
That's fun.
That was in the big egg, and you get yourself a 50-cent piece if you're lucky enough to find it. But maximum of five, you said?
So we did five, two $1 bills, and $3 in quarters, because that's what we had around.
You found the quarters maybe in the van or something,
exactly.
Right?
Or
like,
exactly.
All right. So we're going to be talking about lots of stuff for the next hour. Let's start. Kind of growing up in Fresno. I know you're a Hoover grad. You just talk about where you grew up and where you went to school and sports stuff.
Yeah. So I started playing soccer when I was about 9 years old at Robinson Elementary. So they actually didn't have a girls team at the time. So I went and played at McArdle. So, you know, even that was like, you know, wasn't huge instead of playing with the boys. So, went to Ahwahnee, played, you know, also at that time it wasn't a school sport, just kind of the rec. Hugs was our Hoover United Girls Soccer was our little tag. So even some of those gals I've seen recently, all of our kids end up being, you know, similar ages and play soccer. So I've seen them around town, but then ended up at Clovis West for 1 year just because my parents moved, and then made my way back to Hoover and played at Hoover. So, yeah.
I remember those days, right? Taking my daughters to go play soccer. Like, was it a Saturday soccer league? So you mentioned, right, playing at McArdle. Rec league.
Yeah, in the fog, all winter, all the family would bundle up. And so, yeah.
Get there early.
Yep.
7:30 a.m. I remember those fun days. Like, when did you really fall in love with the sport, or maybe realize,
away.
I'm pretty good at this stuff?
Yeah, right away. I mean, I was pretty fast, and I just was feisty and, you know, could just run around. And even, you know, in elementary, they want you to play all the sports. So I played whatever was next, you know, on the rotation. And soccer wasn't one of the school sports. So I played volleyball and I played softball and basketball, you know, but those all kind of over the years by middle school, I was just playing mostly soccer. So, yeah.
And then you get to, you said Clovis West and then Hoover. How was your experience playing there at Hoover?
Yeah, wonderful, because I'd grown up, you know, with all those girls and played under Tom Metry and Tinker. So just a family, very family, you know, orientated. And my dad was on the school board at the time. So, you know, parents were always around. And, yeah, it's just part of it. And I was also a cheerleader at Hoover. So I kind of balanced both of those. And sometimes I would just do – some years I would just do one. Some years I just do the other. But, yeah, so –
Did you dislike Bullard back in those days? I don't want to start anything on air
but
if you go
definitely
to Hoover.
Definitely was Battle of Barstow, which we were just talking about. So that was like fond memories and, you know, just even the high school football games and, you know, just Fresno is a really special place and had a great, great high school experience.
Do you have a Letterman's jacket?
I did not get a Letterman's jacket.
Did not get one.
No, not as many people got them. I feel like my kids did now, you know, in the last number of years, not quite as many girls got them. I probably know one or two from like kids I went to school with.
Yeah, it's more of a guys thing, right?
Yeah.
You see the
but
football
now I
players
feel like, at least where my kids went, a lot of them do get them, the girls. So
I think so. Well, I mean, you said, right? I mean, girls sports even back in the 90s, right? I mean, it wasn't a huge deal as it is today. So graduating from Hoover, where'd you go to college after that?
So I was saying earlier, we were having a chat of just, you know, I didn't even know about Fresno Pacific. I think I would have been interested in Fresno Pacific had I known about it. My mom taught at Fresno State, so that was kind of a natural, you know, path. But I had looked at Biola because they had a women's soccer team, did a trip there. You know, no scholarships or anything really offered. It ended up going to Fresno State for 2 years and doing my GE and all that and didn't play much at all. And then I met a gal at in our college group who was a runner for Fresno Pacific, actually a couple gals on the track team. And I'm like, where is that? What is that? And so I remember driving down Chestnut, you know, before all those freeways were developed, driving down Chestnut forever.
Like wondering like where the school is? Like
this
is
little
really out here?
School down at Chestnut and Butler, and just became more, you know, familiar with it. And then my husband actually, we were dating at the time, but he went there, transferred to FPU as a sophomore, but lived at home. So he wasn't even living on campus. And then I decided to transfer there my junior year. And he had made friends with a couple of gals who, you know, in his classes, who also had played soccer in high school, but there was no team at FPU. And so he wanted me to meet them and said, you got to meet my girlfriend. She plays soccer. So I decided to transfer there for liberal studies. They're known as a great liberal studies school. I'm like, if I'm going to, you know, be a teacher, I want to go to the best place. And I love small. I love the community aspect. Fresno State was fine, but it's just massive, you know, comparatively. So made that transfer. And I was standing in the summer in the main, you know, administration building and met Jaime Ramirez, the coach of the men's team at the time, who, you know, obviously knew those students and, you know, was interested in helping them, you know, maybe make a women's team. And so I lived on campus. My husband ended up living on campus that year, and we just dove into community, and it had to be a club, you know, an on-campus club. It was actually called the Sunbird Football Club, and it had to be open to men and women because it was
for us people in the United States of America, the Football. Western society. Yeah. Yes, right. That probably might have thrown a few people off.
F-U-T-B-O-L, yeah. So it actually had to be open because it was a campus club to men and women, even though only girls showed up because the intention was, you know, to do the track of becoming a collegiate sport. So, you know, we had started practicing and we're all excited and we're in the gym, we're doing all these things. And then it was time to pick officers for the club. And I'm like, well, I'll go get the paperwork. And, you know, I'm kind of a doer. And so so I did. And one of the gals is like, she should be the president and I'll be vice president. So then I end up brand new girl, the president of the Sunbird Football Club, and it took off, you know, from there. And we just asked girls if they wanted to come, you know, play with us. And one of the teachers, the staff, was really supportive, which was so kind and so sweet. Sponsored our uniforms, and yeah, we just took off. Jaime got us games because he's connected, obviously, sure, with the men's team all these years, and he was a student at FBU or at college at the time. And so we got games with, you know, just all kinds of schools and just started going to tournaments, and we just had the best time.
So what do you remember, though, about, like, literally starting it or even the first practice? Like, how did you even get the word out? Did you have flyers or, right? Or
I don't necessarily remember those deals. I imagine those details. I imagine we had a flyer, but I remember walking to the student government office and getting the paperwork to apply to be a club, you know, so like school started and then just word of mouth, just even, you know, asking your roommate, do you want to come play? Asking this girl and that girl and like, oh, I think she played in high school. We should see if she wants to come. So, you know, it was just, because it was, you know, obviously not like a recruiting situation like we think of with sports where you're trying to get the best, whatever. We were just excited to have fun, yeah, and bring anybody who was interested. So it quickly became like a really fun, you know, place to be.
So we're talking 1998.
1998 fall. Yep.
Fall of 98. Do you remember road trips or getting in the van on traveling? Do you have any memory of that?
That's funny because I don't remember how we got anywhere, but I do remember us at the pier at, you know, places like Monterey and things like that. And, you know, games Jaime had arranged for us and making little trips out of it and, you know, doing that kind of stuff. So we have pictures of, you know, those trips and, yeah, just so fun. There was probably, you know, 11 on a side for soccer. There was probably 16 girls, maybe, you know, it wasn't huge, but we had enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you remember how many other girls were off campus at that time that still played? So, like,
lived off campus?
That lived off, or because it's a club, so anybody, right, could have played.
Yeah. Initially, it was just on campus, I feel like. It's okay. Just kind of girls who, you know, we all were kind of grabbing our friends and stuff. So, and then I would say by the third year, it was a little bit more of like, oh, you know, maybe some high schoolers who were about to graduate would want to come check it out. And, you know, as we got closer to it being a collegiate sport, we had a few more from, or maybe girls that went to Fresno State that, you know, weren't playing there or so. Yeah.
Do you remember any of the games specifically? Like, did you guys have any big wins or tight wins, or is there like,
I remember the game I remember the most is our first year as a, you know, collegiate sport. So we're brand new. We're basically, you know, just this group of girls, even after the 3 years where it's like, we had a couple girls with great talent and mostly us who were just like, this is so fun, we should do this, you know, more of a hobby. And we were playing Biola, who was so good. And then these twins who were just unreal. And I think we were losing 7-0 or 8. I mean, it was just kind of, that's how the first, you know, collegiate season, yeah, went for the most part. And so we had Jaime, and then we had Eric Farfan, who was our assistant, who was great and really just helped, you know, the program grow, who became, you know, the women's head coach after Jaime. Mm-hmm. And I was a defender. Again, probably not a ton of skill, but a lot of grit and fast and, you know, kind of determined. So they're like, okay, Aaron, you're going to be on that sister who keeps scoring all the goals. It was halftime, you know, and I'm like,
your job is to stop her.
Your job is,
sorry,
she doesn't,
probably scored 5 goals.
Yeah. Don't let her score anymore. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I remember asking them after the team huddle and all this, like, are you sure? Like, you've really thought this through, you know? They're like, yep, that's what you're going to do. And I did, and she didn't score anymore. And I felt like it was almost one of those moments where they knew me and they knew what I could do and they had a job for me. you know, and it was just almost that being known in a small community and, you know, saying this, you're going to be good at that. So go do that and encourage me. Like, it's going to be great. We believe in you. So, yeah. So she didn't score any more goals at half.
Awesome. That is a victory.
That's my favorite.
You maybe didn't win the game, but you won the small victory.
Yeah.
That's cool. So. Awesome. What do you remember about, like, what the field looked like, the soccer field? Because, right, just a few years after I graduated, again, 94 guys, mm-hmm. is like 98, 99, right? Mm-hmm. Do you even remember, like, what the fields are like? No tennis courts, no baseball diamond wasn't there.
Yeah,
what
none
did
that
look
was
like
there.
Over there?
So where the baseball diamond is now was our soccer field. And there was huge trees that have been there, you know, so long that had this huge bank of shade with little, you know, wooden metal stands, you know, real basic.
I'm surprised you had stands.
Yeah, well, you know, the kind they just tractor.
Well,
the men
were playing.
When the men were already playing for all the years. So, yeah, but nothing else, you know, beside that. And yeah, it was simple.
Well, do you remember when it went from a club sport to a full-fledged NAIA program?
Like, yeah.
A few years, like 2000, 2001, would you?
Yeah, so 01 was the first fall. So 98, fall 99, 2000. So 3 years, I believe, it has to be a club before it can transition to apply and do all that. So I had been working for the program, even though I had transferred out of school at FPU, I was able to still play and ended up doing like administrative work for Jaime and was back going to Fresno State. I'd gotten married and, you know, we were kind of moving on with our lives, but also I just loved it so much that I was a part of it. And the day before school started of that first collegiate season, I had figured out we'd taken a semester off of school right after we got married. We got married in August. And so it dawned on me that I think I have one semester left of eligibility after all this time. And so I went to Jaime. We called Jaime and Laura Beth, his wife, and said, can we come over? You know, because we remained really good friends, obviously. And they're like, yeah. So it's Sunday night before Monday classes. And Fresno State and Fresno Pacific start on the same day. So I'm supposed to be going to Fresno State, a senior there, taking like 18 units. And I said, I think I have a semester left. Can I play? Jaime's like, well, of course. Yes, you can play. But you have to take 12 units at Fresno Pacific. I was like, oh, gosh. So I had to take 12 units at FPU. I was taking 18 at State, married, and got to play. It was like my one chance to play in college. And, you know, it's kind of insane, but it totally worked out. So
12 units at FPU, 18 at Fresno State,
yeah.
And married and playing soccer,
yep.
at the college level.
Yep.
How did you survive those days? Like, you look back like,
well, my husband
is
teaching
right?
school in Chowchilla and coaching swimming. So he was kind of going a different direction. So we lived right by Sunnyside High School. So it was close, you know, at least. Yeah, just did it. And I was a co-president of the graphic design club at Fresno State at the time, because that was my major. So, you know, got to cover all the bases.
You have to. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a finite amount of time, right? Like the season's August to early November. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you just hunker down and you just do it. You put your, you put your mind to it. We're going to get into all the wonderful stuff in segment number two that you're doing in the local community right now. How about your time at Fresno Pacific? You know, obviously you're back with the university. Just why is it a special place and your fond memories mm-hmm. of the place and obviously starting the women's soccer program, but what do you just love about the community back then? What are some fond memories and how they equip people to go out there in the world today?
Yeah, I just feel like one of the unique things about Fresno Pacific and even where it's located in Central Valley is just a special place where it's because it's small, the faculty and the staff can really pour into the students and get to know them on a very personal and very, you know, just special level that's different in bigger, you know, environments, no matter where you are. And that's something I've always loved. And so finding that, getting connected right away, also with a group, helps, right? So right away, I was connected with the women's soccer program and the, you know, the club and Jaime and, you know, my other teachers. I still just have, you know, I went there for 1 year and then that other little semester. But that's, if I think of college, that's my heart, is that community. And even ongoing, like the MCC sales this coming weekend, the relief sale, like we go to that. So being involved there is not hard for me because just being on the campus is, you know, it's just, I love
it like
so
home.
Much. It does. And I remember my tour, like as a, you know, do I want to go here? Do I not want to go here? And walking around the campus, and it just feels, I mean, maybe that's just because it's centered on Christ and the foundation of just the whole person, right? Not just academic, not just sports, but their, you know, emotional, mental health and their spiritual health and how all of those make us who we are. I just love, and I love being a part of, and it's one of the reasons that drew me back after all these years, you know, to even being involved in a small way now with the women's program. So
what are some of your favorite places on campus? When you walk around campus, you're like, oh, this, I love this part. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's great places to,
yep.
to study. And, you know, I remember the old library as well. And
yep.
the cafeteria, I am a little jealous of the newest.
It's a lot bigger and better.
A lot bigger and
very
better.
Very different
there
than our little,
you said it.
A tiny little one. Yeah.
I mean, even driving into the parking lot.
Yeah.
Right? Like all these memories flood
yeah.
back. Is
yeah.
there like a fun, special place that you
I definitely,
on
whenever I'm on campus and I'm walking around, walking from where the current bookstore, you know, is, which used to be our cafeteria,
yep.
up the walkway towards the fountain in McDonald yep. Hall, I just, it's like I almost can't help but take a picture there or just pause whenever I'm there. It's shaded. It's beautiful. It just has this, you know, special feeling. And then the Strasburg Quad, because I lived in Strasburg. And then when my husband worked there as an RD and we had our first three kids, we lived under Strasburg in that little bitty apartment. And so just Strasburg Quad. And then my husband lived in Schlichting one, you know, so just all that, you know, right there. I just love so much and smile. So the breezeway that goes from Strasburg Quad through to the library, mm-hmm. that was where the student government office was that I went and got the application for the soccer club.
And just past the fountain there, that's where you met Jaime Ramirez, right? And had that talk
right in the yeah by the financial aid window.
Awesome.
So yeah,
Final question before we hit a break. Yes, MCC sale, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
this weekend.
Yeah,
hopefully the weather, right,
they tend to make a lot of money when it rains, so also bring it. We'll see.
Your favorite food to eat there. I mean, free advertising for Fresno Pacific
Absolutely.
University MCC sale.
Absolutely.
I got mine. What's yours?
Yes. I mean, Zwieback, I don't know how you can go wrong. I
can't.
Warm, hot, fresh Zwieback with butter and jelly. Done.
So you double dip the butter and jelly.
Oh, yes.
You have to have both.
You
got to
go both. Yeah.
How about the German sausage plate, right? German sausage and the
I kind of love
the
borscht.
Plate. The soup.
Mm-hmm. I kind of love that too. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's
and,
that's good.
You know, the fritters. Can't go wrong with a fritter.
You got to get the fritters to
yeah.
go, right? Get
yeah.
three or four of those
right.
bad boys
yep.
and then yeah, take it to go as you're leaving
yeah.
the place. Sometimes, if you hang around long enough, I've been known to do this, they give you a little bit of discount.
Okay.
Right? Go
when
stay to the very end.
Yeah.
Like, all right, fritters are whatever, four for $2,
right.
and then you load up and then go home.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you can't go wrong with the homemade ice cream, which I don't know if they always have.
That's
you know?
Kind of a
I
newish
feel like it's
thing.
Gone
the ice
away.
Creams.
I don't know. But they make it right there in that. Old crank with the wheel and the belt.
The old Mennonites
yeah.
are there cranking
yeah,
it out.
So, yeah. It's such a great event.
Good stuff. Yeah. Can't wait. I'll be there. All right. We'll take a break. We'll hear more from Erin Obwald about what she's currently doing. A woman after my own heart with education and keeping kids safe and all this great stuff. You're going to hear more on the Sunburst Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
All right. Welcome to the final segment of the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at the 1430 790 ESPN studio on Palm Avenue across from Bullard High School. And we've had a great conversation so far. We love talking to alum of Fresno Pacific University and all the great accomplishments that they had at that university or college back in the day and what they're currently doing today. And Erin Obwald is on the show right now. We just talked about how she was able to jumpstart. Is that a good phrase? Jumpstart the women's
yeah.
soccer program.
Inaugurate. I don't know. Is that a good word?
Yeah. Right. All that works. And now they're a thriving program. We love talking to the women's soccer players for Fresno Pacific University. And a lot of his thanks to Erin and her work with the program, starting it out as a club and now obviously moving on to Division II. We're going to talk about her current position now, her current roles, what she's doing in Fresno Unified, life after college. I know you're busy doing so many things. My gosh, I thought my life was busy. You were telling me about all the things that you do and running around with your family as well. Let's talk about your current role, though, right now. You've returned to Fresno Pacific University, more of an administrative role, but you're diving in again with the soccer program. So what are you currently doing with the soccer program, and why did you return?
Yeah, so I returned. This is my second school year back. And, you know, after Jaime started the program, it's had several different head women's coaches. But then he was going to transition to a role 2 years ago as director of the men's and the women's. And so I thought, you know what a great time, because I've always wanted to circle back, but it was like, when is it right for our family? When is it right for, you know, what I'm doing? And he is my connection, like, right? He's the relationship that I have that I cherish, and our families are very close. And so if I could come back and, you know, kind of assist that again, then that's what I was interested in. So now currently he's actually the women's head coach again. The director role is no longer, but so just assisting, there. I don't have all the soccer, you know, licenses and all these things. I've been raising kids and running a nonprofit, but my hope in being there is to really, college is short. It's 4 years, 4 or 5 years. Is how are we going to help these young women develop as, like I mentioned before, the whole person? So when they leave Fresno Pacific, how are they going to invest in their families, in their community? And so really pouring into them, almost to like the mental, emotional, spiritual encouragement. A lot of them are away from home. So my kids are their ages, you know, now, my older ones. So just wanting to be a support, not only to Jaime and the program, but also to the young women.
So the administrative role is like, are you, you know, on the field sometimes coaching and doing the social emotional help with them? You're doing stuff on the computer. What does that look like?
So some practices I'm not at all of them, but just paying attention to them, you know, and how they're responding. Are they stressed? Is there other stuff going on that's, you know, getting in their way of being able to concentrate at practice? Do they have, you know, health related stuff? Any of those, you know, kind of like mommy tasks. Like one thing I would say when we first started, you know, back is, because I have 3 girls and two boys in my family. So a lot of times I say, okay, girls, and we'll do whatever, right? So I was saying that to the team, because I also coached, you know, girls soccer from like under 8s to, you know, about under 19s. But I'm like, oh, sorry, I should say ladies. And they're like, no, we love it. Say girls. We love it. It sounds like our mom's here, you know? So just sweet being able to have just a really, hopefully just healthy and, you know, kind of a mentoring, you know, relationship and being for them and there in those ways. So
I feel like that part of college coaching and having somebody that is available is a huge thing these days, right? Like it's, it's imperative that any college athlete, right, be able to balance
life,
sports, academics. Like what are some great
social
needs?
Pressures.
Yes, all of that. You know? Social media. It's a different age
when you and I
went to college. But what are some immediate things that come to your mind when you think about really what college students, especially athletes, kind of need as far as the social, emotional, spiritual help?
Yeah, I think even just looking beyond that day or that semester of is how you have your schedule and your priorities and all of that. Is that what you want for your life, right? And what are you allowing to kind of tell you what you should be doing in your life, right? Is it, hopefully a coach is a positive influence, and they're not always. And that's something I'm completely against, is that coaches that, you know, almost are like using the kids to have successes of their own and don't treat them very well. And so having a place where they're respected as people just because they're alive, you know, maybe their skill is, you know, needs improvement, or they're at the top of their game, but that doesn't really matter when it comes to them just growing as healthy people. Really, again, paying attention to all those things. And when I started back with Jaime, there, I was the only female on the coaching staff. And so really felt that was an important piece for the women's program, because a lot of the coaches are men, you know, in most sports. So,
and I think that's one of the great things about Fresno Pacific University, and we've talked time and time again, countless times on this show, about how Fresno Pacific really is invested in the whole student. And mm-hmm. You've even used that phrase a couple times today. And, you know, it's one of the great aspects of a Christian university, mm-hmm. the small campus that we've also talked about as well, the community-mindedness. It's one of the great things about mm-hmm. FPU mm-hmm. is just how invested the professors are in the whole community.
And how people stay in contact after they leave. And they want to come back, and they want to be in contact with the professors, with the staff, you know, is really special, because they've made that investment over whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4 years, you know, that a student's gone there. It's more than that. So.
And you right now are invested in the young people of Fresno Unified as well. So let's talk about your program, Safe to School. Just a wonderful program. I was able to listen to another podcast, how you explained everything. It's just, you know, as an educator, right, just it's close to my heart as well. Just talk about your program. It's probably something that a lot of people don't even think about out there or realize that it could be an issue. But mm-hmm. you've helped solve a big need in Fresno Unified. Just kind of talk about your program and what that looks like.
Yeah, so Safe to School was actually started by my father, Michael O'Hare, in 2010. The Crossing Guard program has always been volunteers in Fresno Unified, started about 40 years ago. And so it was gonna kind of disappear. So he ended up starting Safe to School in his 60s to continue that program. So about nine school years ago, I started with him. And I love Fresno Unified. I grew up in Fresno Unified. My dad was on the school board. I'm very, you know, I'm used to being at school board meetings even, or PTA meetings, and, you know, different places around town. Both my parents are very involved in nonprofits. And I grew up in a lot of that. I'm an only child, so I was at those meetings with them when they were doing that. So it was a natural fit in that way. But really meeting the needs of safety, because we do have phones in our hands, which we didn't while we're driving when I was, you know, growing up. And, you know, different safety concerns. Trafficking is a huge issue in the Central Valley. And so, you know, we exist to ensure every student gets to school safely and gets home safely. So the distance between their home and their school is really what we pay attention to. And whatever it is that could get in the way of that is what we, you know, want to come alongside the district and come alongside those schools to help them with. They are worrying about, you know, curriculum and you know, the social emotional health of the children inside the school and inside the school fences. And so we want to help just alleviate some of that for them on just the children even getting to school.
So you're talking children that are walking to school, the different crosswalks that are there, parents dropping kids off at a certain spot mm-hmm. and ensuring that they're able to get to the school safely. Just kind of walk us through what exactly that looks like. Is it painting the roads, getting the crossing guards? You have a huge spreadsheet with the different schools. I mean, what does that look like?
So we serve every elementary school in Fresno Unified, which is about 67 elementary schools. And then we also started with Parlier Unified this school year and serve all of their schools in their district, which is 6 from kindergarten to high school. So we help the schools recruit in their communities. It's very important to us that the community actually is supporting the children in their neighborhood. So it doesn't make sense for me to drive across town to be a crossing guard at a school that I don't even know anybody at, right? So we want to help that community raise up volunteers and really lead in that way and step out and say, I'll help. Like, I will fill that need. Not only that my child gets to school safely, but also my neighbor's child and the other child down the street, right? So specifically children who are walking by themselves or just with their siblings, which is a lot of kids. So we recruit and train volunteer crossing guards to be out there. We provide the safety gear, ongoing safety education in a variety of other areas that we partner with other local agencies. For instance, Central Valley Justice Coalition, we want to bring their education to our crossing guards and to those communities to create, you know, and build safer communities. So we work with the city on infrastructure needs related to crosswalks or signage or lights, any of that kind of stuff, again, that's outside the school fence that's going to prevent a child from getting to school safely. Stray dogs are a huge problem, you know. So any of those things is what we're about, and want to involve the community in helping us make that happen.
Yeah, so I'm picturing in my mind, right, and probably many people listening right now, is, you know, the older generation with their fluorescent vest on with the stop sign and mm-hmm. helping kids. Is yeah. that yeah. basically
yeah.
what you
people
see
people showing up when they're available, right? Again, it's a volunteer program. So we, you know, it's not, we're not going to make your schedule for you. You're going to let us know when you're available. And if you're interested, there is always availability. So, so don't think it's all covered. And they show up, you know, before school, 15 minutes before breakfast, and they do that crossing about 7:15 in the morning till 8:05. And sometimes we have community members and neighbors who see kids jumping out of the way, you know, in the morning, and they come to the school and say, I will help. I want to volunteer because I see what's happening. We also started a couple years ago a high school partnership program. So getting high schoolers involved in the elementary schools that are, so like, for example, Sunnyside's beside Air Elementary. Well, a lot of times a family's going to bring multiple kids, right, to one location, but the Sunnyside students then taking that on as serving the Air community. And the kids love it. The high school students love it. The elementary school kids love it. The parents, you know, have that where they can't always meet all those time needs or all those days. So we have about three or four high schools involved. So we're having, you know, again, high schoolers serve and look out for someone besides themselves and be involved in the community.
What are some great feedback that mm-hmm. you've got from principals or maybe even from the community itself?
There's one school in particular that I would go to quite a bit because, again, we serve every school. So whether or not we have an active crossing guard, we're still helping them with gear or problem solving or anything, you know, with their school that would help, even if there's not an active person. And so it was a school that I'd gone to several times, and we couldn't get anyone to volunteer or whatever. And the office manager who'd been there since it opened, so she'd been there like 25 years at this one school in Fresno Unified, she said, thank you for loving my school. I was like, that's it. That is what we're doing. We are loving every single school in their community so their children aren't hit by cars. I mean, it is like tragic, and the possibility of that happening is every single day. So it's really imperative that people help and step up.
The work that you are doing is it's something that I think a lot of people don't think about, like mm-hmm. I said, but it's mm-hmm. it's super important, right? The number one thing for schools, which is safety.
Yeah.
Number one thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And one of the things I always say is, if they can't get to school safety, can't learn. So it doesn't really matter if you spend a lot of time on your math curriculum if the children are being hit by cars on the way. You know, so let's take care of that. Let's get them there. Then we can do fine tune the curriculum.
I agree. Yeah. We only got a couple minutes with you, Aaron. I want to give you a little bit of time to talk about the balance that you have in your own life, the role that you've now taken on at Fresno Pacific, your safe to school that you're just talking about, and then your family, you adopted two little ones from China as well. Just life. I mean, life at this moment, isn't it grand?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I wouldn't say balance is the right word. It's more like juggle. Juggle and, try to, I mean, I literally just try to do the next thing that I feel like God's telling me to do. And, you know, some weeks it's more of one and less of another. And, you know, our younger two kids at home now are the two that are adopted from China, who are 12 and 14. And so, you know, we adopted them at 1 and 4. So that's, you know, been a long time. And our other kids are college or beyond. So it's a fun time. It's exciting. And, you know, I think it's easy sometimes to lose the focus because, you know, everybody always wants more from us. But, you know, staying grounded in, you know, our faith and the next, you know, the next task and the next thing.
You're doing phenomenal work. I do have one last question. How are your soccer skills right now? If you're able to kick the soccer ball around. You're shaking your head a little bit.
I did kick the soccer ball around yesterday with one of our gals who's coming off an injury, and I just love it. So I'm definitely not as fast as I used to be, for sure. But I love being out there.
But you did stop. You could go back in the Wayback Machine because mm-hmm. you did stop that girl from Biola who scored like right? 5 or 6 goals in the first half. You did totally. Shut her out in the second half.
Yeah.
So you can always
I'm
just fall back on
I'm still a pretty good defender.
That.
I probably can't run as far.
But you still got that gritty toughness.
Oh,
I would assume that.
That is still there.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Aaron. I really appreciate it.
Much.
We got some wrap up to do, but hey, great segment. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Maybe I'll see you at the MCC weekend as well.
Seaweed Bog Booth.
Let's do it. With butter and jelly, of course. All right, what's next for Fresno Pacific University? Well, a rather quiet week coming up for the Sunbird Athletics. Still some exciting home action to check out. Tomorrow, baseball travels up to Atherton for a PacWest doubleheader against Menlo. Meanwhile, at home, men's and women's tennis will take on the Cougars of Azusa Pacific. The women play at 10 a.m., and the men are scheduled for 2 p.m. at the Hawk Tennis Complex. Saturday, track and field. Head down to Claremont for the Pomona Pitzer Invitational, but not before baseball plays another doubleheader against Menlo at Dan Martin Stadium. Again, beautiful stadium. You guys need to check that out. Games are slated to begin at 12 p.m. and 3 o'clock p.m., respectively. Lastly, women's water polo is off to Concordia Irvine for the 2026 WWPA Championships with their first match against Salem, scheduled for Friday at 1 o'clock. For more information on those championships and more, visit fpusunbirds.com. Well, that is a wrap for today's show. Again, thank you guys for listening an hour earlier than normal. Next week, we'll be going to our regular time, 6 o'clock to 7. Again, you could go back to all the places that you listen to podcasts to check out this show and more. Again, thank you to Erin for coming on the show. Great job by her. Love hearing her wonderful stories. Thank you guys for listening again. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the Fresno Pacific Sunbirds, KFPT Clovis 790 ESPN.